Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Goodness to us. That helps. Help me to know that prayer and praise helps us to prepare our hearts for what God wants to do. In and for us and through us. So, Father, we thank you today. We humbly come before you, giving you praise. Thank you that Jesus is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is still the healer. He's still on the throne. And, Father, today we thank you for the Word of God. We trust the Holy Spirit will bring revelation to the hearts and lives of each of us so that we will understand it, apply it to our life, and by being doers of the Word and not hearers only, may be blessed in all our deeds. And we give you the praise and give you the glory for what you will do in Jesus' name. And everyone that agreed with that said, amen. Shake a hand next to you. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Pastor Debbie sends her love. You have me this morning. Praise God. But I believe that I got a word from heaven for us today. Not that every time we don't come together that we don't have one. I believe we do. But we have another one today. Today, we want to talk about, I'm going to entitle today's message for those that are taking notes, Your Mind and Your Healing. Your mind, right here, and your healing. And so today, we're going to be talking about the connection between the two. And actually, we're going to be talking about right and wrong thinking. Right and wrong thinking and its connection to either health and healing in our lives or sickness and disease. And so this is very important. Today, for many of you, it won't be something that you haven't heard before, that although there is going to be a number of things that I'm sure you haven't. And you'll find out why I say that in just one moment. But today I want to first begin by saying this concerning your mind and your healing. First, we must understand there are right thoughts and wrong thoughts. In other words, they're both positive thoughts and negative thoughts. You could call right thoughts positive thoughts. But it's not just, it's more than positive thinking. It's thinking after God's own thoughts. And we find that if we're going to think after God's thoughts, we're going to have to think after His Word. Because how many know His Word reveals His thought? His words revealed His mind to us. Amen. And so that is where we must look if we're going to think thoughts after God's thoughts, they're going to be found in God's Word. On the other hand, the wrong thinking means that we think something outside of the Word of God. And many times, I don't think I have to explain how wrong thoughts or negative thoughts impact us emotionally. You know what? If I told you that you just won, here's a good thought, that you just won $5 million, that will produce a smile and some positive emotions. But if I told you that someone you loved was just in an automobile accident, that would produce a negative emotion. And so our thoughts play a big part in our lives, and what we fill our mind with will have a lot to do with not only whether we're going to be up or down, but whether we're going to be able to receive from God, especially we're talking about healing in the healing center. Praise God. So if you would turn with me to today in Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 9. I kind of seem like I'm really high up here today. And so in Isaiah 55, in verse 6, beginning there, notice it says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Now notice what God says in the next two verses. He says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, And neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, the first of all, in verse 8, where it tells us that God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, that doesn't mean, or his ways are not our ways, it doesn't mean that we can't think God's thoughts. It just means in the natural, we do not have, apart from God's word in knowing it, it is impossible for us to know whether we have the mind of Christ or not, or the thoughts of God. The only way we can know whether we think thoughts after God is by knowing what God's word says. So God doesn't say this so to let us know that we cannot have them. He's just saying, apart from knowing his word, we don't have them. So that applies that if we know his word, then we can have his thoughts and we can walk in his ways. And the truth is revealed in verse 9 that truly as high as the heaven and higher than the earth, so is his ways and his thoughts above ours. And so this lets us know the importance of right thinking and how much different our life can change if we can learn to think after God's thoughts. Amen. And once again, we're talking about your mind, your healing, and the connection between the two. Let's look at another portion of Scripture, this time in the New Testament, in Philippians chapter 4. And let's see, there's many that we could look at, but for time's sake, I've had to limit it to just a couple here. But notice here in Philippians 4:8, it tells us one final thing. Verse 8, finally means one final thing. Brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just or right, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely or beautiful, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, that means any good, if there be anything, if there be any praise or worthy of praise, think on these things. One translation says, focus your thoughts on these things, or fill your mind with these things. Notice the scripture makes it really clear for us what to think on. That means that God expects us to be instructed to think on the right things. Obviously, if God tells us there's a need for this, obviously there's not only a need, but it will be for our benefit if we learn to do this. And this is what we're talking about today, because the right thoughts, obviously, that I'm talking about is thinking thoughts after God's thoughts. Now, we all have natural thoughts, and you know what? Every natural thought is not a wrong thought. I mean, you can have pleasure in natural thinking about just going out with your spouse, going out to supper. It's nothing matter with that. I'm not talking about that's something the matter with that. But what I'm telling us, and God is telling us, if we're gonna walk with him the way he wants us to walk, we're going to have to think this way. We're going to have to focus on the good things and the things that he said. Because what that's going to do is that's going to affect the whole of us, so that we can actually not only receive, but walk in everything that God has for us. Our wrong thoughts will take us in the wrong direction. And wrong thoughts are any thoughts, let me define it, any thoughts that are actually contrary to what God's word says or what he says about us. How many know that would be wrong thoughts? If you have thoughts that you're a loser, you're no good, you'll never make it, you're less than, that's wrong thoughts. And the Bible tells us you can't park there. Matter of fact, you have to do something with it. And at the very end of the day, we're going to talk about that. We know we're to cast down those thoughts, okay? But also, if the thoughts are bombarding you about sickness, disease, about negative things, how many know that you're going to have to, that's contrary to the word of God, and you're going to have to do something with those thoughts as well. And so when we understand this, then we are moving in the right direction. So number one, we must understand there's right thoughts and wrong thoughts. Number two, we must know we can choose our thoughts. And this is a big one, even though it's very simple. Many people never connect this. They think they do, but in application they don't. And so let me explain. You must know that you can choose your thoughts. God's gift of free will is humanity's God-given right, the right of choice, or to choose one's thought or one's direction in life, means that God gives you a choice. Everything isn't just your lot in life. In other words, L-O-T, lot. If, you know, growing up, not knowing God, not knowing God's word, I actually thought that everything happened in my life was my lot in life. That meant whatever happened, good or especially bad, was nothing I could do to change that. In other words, that was somehow part of God doing something in my life, either for punishment or for some mysterious reason I would never know. And how many know that that's not what the Bible teaches? But if we do not know that, then we will succumb to those wrong thoughts, and those wrong thoughts will cause us to go in the wrong direction because we are believing the wrong thing. Remember, we have the right, we can choose our thoughts. You may not be able to stop all wrong thoughts coming to your mind. Obviously you can't, but you can keep them from making a nest in your hair. See, you cannot stop them all from coming, but what you can do is you can have something to say about them. And so not only do you to replace them, but you're to speak to those things. And so that's what we have to understand. So just like you can't keep birds from flying over your hair, but you can keep them from making a nest in your hair, you're going to have to do something with those wrong thoughts. You have to do something with those wrong thoughts. You're going to have to exchange them for God's thoughts about you. And God's thought comes from God's what? His word. Amen. And so you're going to have to say what God's word says, and you have the right of choice or to choose your thoughts and your direction in life. And you have to understand that. This is why Joshua, write it down, Joshua 24 verse 15. In that verse, Joshua told the people of Israel, choose you this day whom you will serve. And then he says, you know the famous saying, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And others, but the point is, he said, choose you who you serve. You know, he wouldn't told us that if we couldn't do that. I'm telling you, we can choose our thoughts. We can choose the direction of the life we can go in. We can choose whether we receive from God or not. It's not all up to God. It's up to us. Agreeing with God and receiving what God says that we can have. We have to understand choices are real. We can choose our thoughts, and we can also choose our actions. You know, I can't help it. I just always fly off the handle. No, you fly off the handle because you have a problem. You yield to the anger, you yield to the flesh, and you've got used to it, and so it becomes second nature. It becomes an action that it's a response, but it's the wrong one. So don't tell me that, you know, something made you do it. No, your flesh has a problem, and you have chose to yield to the wrong thing. Now, just like we chose to yield to the wrong thing, as a believer, we can choose to yield to the right thing. Now, I understand, listen, the world, I'm talking to believers in here. The world, they don't have a new nature. So they have an unregenerate nature, and the nature of the flesh is the prominent part of them. But as a new creation in Christ Jesus, your flesh is not to be the ruling factor, the predominant part in your life that guides your life. Your spirit man is. And as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So we have to begin to think what the Word of God says, and then we understand that we have a new nature, and we can choose our thoughts, and we can choose our actions, therefore, and then, therefore, the words that we speak and the actions we take are representative of the thoughts that we've had, and we have to have the right thoughts to have the right words and the right actions. Isn't that right? And so it's important that we understand this, that choices are real. We can choose our thoughts. So don't say, if you're a believer, I can't help myself. You can choose your thoughts and you can choose your actions. I know your flesh is just like mine. Sometimes your flesh wants to just have a pity party. But you know what? It don't help you. I just think I did. If I just get that out, I just give them a piece of my mind. Why don't you stop and give them a piece of your heart? Instead of a piece of your mind. Praise God. And in the moment we do that, we look down on the inside and something, there's great peace there because you did it God's way. Now your flesh may feel better that you got it off your mind to tell somebody off, but I can tell you right down here, something is going cross-grain, letting you know that ain't right. Because and that's a good thing, because we are believers and God is bearing witness with our hearts to let us know right from wrong. That's why we do have a conscience, you know. And the spirit of man is where our conscience is. And so I told you first, we must understand there's right and wrong thoughts. Number two, I said that we can choose our thoughts. And thirdly, now you must know who you are and who God says you are and how God created you. You got to know that. Because you know a lot of things we take for granted now. We think we've always known. Like for instance, we always have known 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23. And which says, I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's many Christians that do not even know who they are. They don't know they are eternal spirit beings. They do not know they have a soul, a mind, will, intellect, and emotion, and they don't know they live in a body. In other words, what I mean by that is they do not know they're a three-part being. And many times, You know, the world doesn't know that. They may know they are body, and they may know they have a mind, but the hidden man of the heart, as Peter calls it, as spirit. So what we must understand is that you and I are spiritual beings. We are spirits. We possess a soul. In our soul, we have an intellect, a mind, and we have will and have emotions. So in our mind, that's the deciding factor part right there. Amen. And we live in a body. And we must know that what we do with our mind has a direct impact on both our spirits and our bodies. What we do with our mind has a direct impact on our spirit and our bodies. Actually, our mind is the doorway to both. And has a direct impact on our minds and our bodies. So once again, Proverbs, I quoted this before, we'll put this up and we're going to quote it several times a day and drive this point home. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's what we become. So we have to understand, because our minds are the vehicle of choice. We choose what we think, we choose what we believe, and we choose what we do. Don't fall for the lie of the devil, I can't help what I believe. No, you can. You have a choice to believe what you believe. It's not a feeling. Faith is not a feeling. In its simplest form, once you know what the Word of God says, faith is a choice. Come on, thank you for your great round of enthusiasm this morning. Praise God. No, it puts it back on us. Once we know what the Word of God says, it is a choice, first and foremost. Amen. So our minds, this is why it's so important, are the vehicle of choice. We choose what we think, do, and believe. So our choices are the results, listen to me, of our thoughts, either right or wrong. If a person thinks wrong, you know why they robbed the bank? They were thinking wrong. You know why the person blessed so-and-so? Because they thought right. Our actions, our choices, are the result of our thoughts, either right or wrong. Praise God. We put what we put in our minds, in other words, what we dwell on, actually gets into our hearts. In other words, it affects our belief. You can't think on something a long time and it not affect how you believe. This is why we have to think on the right stuff, not the wrong stuff, because it will affect your heart. You have to think on the right things. This is why the Bible tells us what to think on, because it wants a positive effect on our spirits, because what we put in our minds, what we dwell on, gets into our heart, affects our beliefs, and ultimately, listen, here it is, affects our bodies. Affects our bodies. You got to understand that as our mind goes, so goes our bodies. And so You have to have the connection between your mind and your healing. Amen. And how it plays a part in that. So right and wrong thinking and its connection to healing is what we're talking about. So what this just simply means is that we have to think right to be healed. We have to think right to be healed. Because if you don't believe that God is a healer, you won't be healed. If you don't think that it's God's will for you to be healed, you won't be healed. You have to think right to be healed. Just like you have to think right to be saved. If you think you can't be saved, you won't be. If you don't think it's God's will for you to be saved, you won't be. If you just put it all up off on God and say, if God wills for me to be saved, I'll be saved. You won't be saved because you don't know the way God said. It is His will for you to be saved, and He tells us to receive it. It's the same thing with healing. It's the same thing. We have to receive it. And it's not hard. It's a choice. Our problem is we got this body that tells us, that reports to our mind feelings. And as long as we go by feelings, then the moment that we don't feel like we're healed, it's reporting that we don't have healing. But how many know that faith doesn't ask for a report from its body? It receives all its information from the Word of God. And that's what it puts its focus back on and says, I choose to believe this. And by that, it causes our bodies to line up with the Word of God if we will hold on to the promise of God. Can I get an amen in here today? So Brother Hagin, who Pastor Deb and I learned much from, said this for a number of years. We heard him say it, and I want to talk about this for a few moments. He said the greatest need, or the greatest two needs for the church, the greatest two needs of the church, and I totally agree with it. This is why I talk about it. He says number one is a renewed mind. And then number two is to develop spiritually. So let's talk about those two things. He said the greatest two needs for the church is number one, a renewed mind. Romans 12:2 tells us, and be not conformed to this world. In other words, don't think like this world. Don't act like this world. Don't let the world, one translation says, around you squeeze you into its mold. You're not to think, act, or live like the world. He said, don't be conformed to this world. Don't let your outward actions be representative of something that's not in your new nature. Don't let your outward actions be just like the world. He says, that's what this means. Don't be conformed to this world. What I just said, all of it, is just what that statement means. He says, but, it means something else, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Notice here, he said, that we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So even though we as believers are born again and saved, and we have had a total change of nature, that nature on the inside will never be manifested on the outside the way it's supposed to, unless this mind thinks like God's Word says about it, and that becomes the doorway to allow what's in our spirits to be lived out through our bodies. We have to think the way God thinks about us. And so the word renewing of our mind, renew means to change or exchange our way of thinking for God's way of thinking. So how does God think? He thinks He loves you. Okay, so do you love you? Well, that's your choice, but you're supposed to. I said you're supposed to. Do you love other people? That's your choice, but you're supposed to. Do you think Jesus is the healer? He is, but you're supposed to think that. In other words, whatever God's Word says, that's what you're to think on. That's what you're to agree on, because remember, your mind is that choice, is the deciding factor, whether you choose or not. It's not a feeling, church. It's a choice to believe God. And this is why the renewing of our mind is so important, because we have to learn what God's Word says. So it's called, in Ephesians, it's called the washing of the water of the Word. And so the Word washes it. Just like you wash clothes to get the dirt out so it's clean again, we have to get all the impurities out of our thought life, out of our life, through the renewing of mind. It's an exchange. We exchange what our way of thinking, which could be wrong, when we find out what God says, we exchange the way we think about something with what God says about it. So if I think it is, I have to be sick, or if my thinking is that this sickness is from God, or if my thinking is whatever will be, and it's nothing I can do about it. When we read the Word of God, a renewed mind will go to the Word and find out what the Word says. And when you find out that sickness and disease is not your lot, it is not God's will, it's come to steal, kill, and destroy in your life, and healing and health and abundant life belongs to you from it, you exchange your way of thinking for God's way of thinking. You begin to agree with Him. That is how we renew our mind. We exchange our way of thinking for God's way of thinking. And we think thoughts after God, or what God's way think. And He says, and here's why, because as we do, we are finding out, this is what the word prove means, we actually find out what the good and acceptable and perfect will of God is. Well, how are we going to find out what the good, acceptable, perfect will of God is? By reading the Word. And we're to accept God's will and reject everything else. And that's what a renewed mind does. So this is why, Brother Hagin, because you cannot act differently than what you're believing. You cannot consistently and ongoing act differently than you believe. Sometimes it's going to come out. So in other words, we have to put the right stuff in, believe the right stuff, so that we can have the right, so that our right actions come out of our heart, come out of the choices that we make, what we believe, and it will show up in our life. So we have to understand that it is a transformed mind a renewed mind that transforms our life. It allows what's on the inside to be manifested on the outside. It allows what God says about us and has for us to be lived out in our life. Can you see why this is so important? Because if we think wrong, we believe wrong, we talk wrong, and we get the wrong results in our life. But if we think right, we'll believe right.
Right,
talk right, act right, and get the right results. Exactly opposite. You just turn it around. Yeah. And that's good news. Then secondly, he says to develop spiritually. This is the next thing that we do. You do not do something with your mind. Remember, your mind is the doorway to your spirit and to your body. In other words, your mind is going to decide whether you're going to be spiritual or you're going to be carnal. Come on, that's what it means. Your mind is going to be the one that determines whether your mind is renewed, whether you're going to be spiritual-minded or carnal. Spiritual-minded is life of peace, Romans 8. To be carnal-minded is death. It produces death in our life, Romans 8 again. So notice here, to develop spiritually, 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Let's turn there. Here's what it says as newborn babes. Nobody likes to be called a baby. You know, a lot of times say, well, I'm not a baby. Don't tell me I've been coming to church for 35 years. Well, praise the Lord. It says, it's not calling you a baby. It says, as newborn babies. See, God's not calling us babies. He's given us an example. He's saying, as a newborn babe, what? Desire the sealed miracle of the Word that we may grow thereby. You know why a lot of people stop growing? You know why? Because they don't desire the sincere miracle Word anymore. Oh, I'm beyond that. Oh, I've heard that before. Listen, the word that, the moment the word stops thrilling you, you can tell this, that word ain't working for you anymore. Because the word that you're thrilled with is the word that will work for you. That means I can't help, you know, I know I'm preaching to the choir today. The reason you're here, because you want to hear a healing word. You're not tired of it. That means you're acting just like a newborn baby. In other words, you're not a baby, but you have that desire for the sincere miracle of the Word. Why? Because you want to grow in the things of God. And that's exactly how we do it. And that's what God says. See, what we have to understand, the first, what do you mean the first? The first affects the second. The degree that we renew our mind with the degree that we'll develop spiritually. The degree that we are renewing our mind is the degree that we are developing spiritually. Amen. Because the first affects the second, as the mind is the doorway to the spirit. Amen. So, with that in mind today, I want to talk about a couple things. The main function of the mind is of thinking and choosing. That's a good thought. The main function of the mind is of thinking and choosing. The main need for our mind is being renewed with God's Word. I want to say that again. The main need for our mind is to be renewed with the Word of God. I'll make both of those statements again because they're so important. The main function of the mind is of thinking and choosing. But the main need for our mind is to be renewed with the Word of God so that it can, as Romans 12:2 tells us, so that it can know God's will and agree with God. Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together unless they agree? You know, you really can't walk with God unless you agree with God. And a lot of times people say, me and God are just like this. Well, He wants to be just like that. Matter of fact, you're in Him and He's in you. But you won't walk together and you won't receive everything He has unless we learn to agree with Him. How can two walk together unless they agree? One translation says, how can two walk together unless they go in the same direction? And so in order to go the same direction, you're going to have to agree with God. You're going to have to be saying the same thing God says about you. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. How do I know if my mind is renewed? Is a great question then. Well, it knows. How do you know? Because it will know, according to this, Romans 12:2, it knows and does God's will. It acts on God's word. See, just because it knows and does God's will, it doesn't just know it. See, a lot of times people think, my mind's renewed because I know what the word says. Your mind is not truly renewed until it's acting on what it knows. Because knowing is the first step. But knowing and acting on it is what changes us. It's what we do with what we know that actually affects a change in all of our lives. Isn't that right? So a renewed mind means God's word affects our thoughts. Come on. It not only affects our thoughts, but if it affects our thoughts, it affects also our words and our actions. In other words, a renewed mind doesn't stop with it's just thinking change. It's now a talking change and an acting change. Because, let me tell you, I'm going to say this again a little later maybe. There was never a word or action that was not first a thought. There was never a word or action that was not first a thought. Where did the words come from? Where did the actions result from? Thoughts. This is why our minds are so important and we get to choose what we think. You may not be able to stop all the wrong thoughts from coming, but when they come, you can do something about them. You don't have to agree with them. You don't have to believe them. This is why we're to wash ourselves with the Word of God, why we renew our mind. So our thoughts always precede our words and our actions or our behavior. If that statement is true, I'm going to say it again, which it is. Our thoughts precede our words and our behavior or action. If that's true, and it is, then listen to this next statement. That means our thoughts precede what manifest in our lives. Because our thoughts are seeds that are being planted. In other words, the thoughts that you allow planted and cultivated by thinking about them all the time are growing. And they'll produce result in our life. This is why when the doctor says cancer, you can't sit there and look up everything online about every cancer patient and every diagnosis and what that's like, because you're cultivating the wrong thing. It's one thing to be knowledgeable or just to know what something is. It's another thing to just to cultivate that thing because you're planting the wrong thing. Let me make this statement again so you understand. Thoughts precede what manifest in our life. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Always precedes what comes in our life. So we have to make sure that we're not allowing. See, a lot of times we say, well, I can't. Listen, we have an enemy. I get that. We just have to realize we all have the same battle. It's on that sick. And we have to put a no trespassing sign on this 6 inches of real estate between our ears. And you're going to have to make the devil a prisoner of war. Because the battle is in this mind right here. And you're going to have to take thoughts captive. We'll eventually get to that portion of Scripture today. Amen. Before we do, we have a few other thoughts that I want you to think about. Renewing our mind means we will think right. In other words, have right thinking. And make good or right choices. That's what a renewed mind does. It thinks right so it can make right choices, which are the result of us thinking after God and doing the right things. So once again, I'm going to say it again. I said it earlier. Choices are real. We can choose our thoughts. We can choose our actions. You know why we act bad sometimes? Because we want to act bad. We chose to act bad. We don't have to. Okay. We got to, you know, the devil didn't make you do it. He may gave you a thought, but you have to cast that down. Hallelujah. So this is why, see, remember, I'm going to say it again. There was never a word or action that's been taken that was not first a thought. This is why the importance of our right thinking is so important. This is why the importance of our thoughts and right thinking is so important. Now, the connection between our thinking and health, I want to take it for a moment. Pardon me to get a little scientific on you. Amen. But I want to prove to you that what God has said for 6,000 years of human history, roughly, recorded here, what He's told us in this book for roughly the history of mankind is now being, even though we may believe it as believers, it's even now science and scientific research is confirming what God has already told us in His Word. When are we going to ever learn repeatedly over and over again? Ancient civilizations and different things, archaeology, all those things. The Bible has said it, and now man is finding that out. But I want to talk about a total different part, not something archaeological. I'm talking about something psychological, mental, spiritual, and physical. What God has already told us about, now science has proven this out. So let's talk about that. After years of extensive research around thoughts and their effect on our brains, our health, and our bodies, Dr. Caroline Leaf states the vast majority of the illnesses that, now she studied this for years, and I'm going to give you other scientific fact. I have to do this pretty quick. But she states the vast majority of the illnesses that plague us today are direct result of our thought life. What we think about truly affects us both physically and emotionally, she states. She goes on and says, today our culture is undergoing an epidemic of toxic thoughts that, left unchecked, create ideal conditions for all kinds of illnesses. She states that research shows that 75 to 98% of mental, physical, and behavioral illness comes from one's thought life. She says this staggering and eye-opening statistic means only 2 to 25% of mental and physical illnesses come from in the environment and genes. Only 2 to 25%. Here are just a few stats confirming that 75 to 98% of mental and physical illnesses come from one's thought life. A study by the American Medical Association found that stress, everybody say stress. Everybody say ow. Yeah, ow. Because everybody deals with stress. That stress, American Medical Association found that stress is a factor in 75% of all illnesses and disease that people suffer from today. In another finding, the association between stress and disease is stated to be a colossal 85%. The International Agency for Research on Cancer and the World Health Organization have concluded that 80% of cancers are due to lifestyle and not genetics. And this, in their statement, is a conservative number. According to Dr. Bruce Lipton, a scientist who has made great strides in understanding the effect of our thinking on our brain and body, says a staggering 98% of diseases are related to lifestyle choices, in other words, our thinking. Now, I don't see nobody running here today, but if we get it, we'll understand how important our thoughts are. According to W.C. Willett, only 5% of cancer and cardiovascular patients can attribute that disease to hereditary factors. What is the main takeaway or point here that I'm trying to get across? Here it is our minds and thinking affect our bodies and our overall health? You want to hear that again? The main point or takeaway is that our minds and our thinking affect our bodies and our overall health. God has said that all along. Science has proven it now. When are we just going to side in with God and say God is right? Hopefully we all have in here. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. See, God wants us to understand that we are not victims of our biology, nor do we have to be of wrong thinking anymore. He is still the healer, and He has created us to know Him, believe in Him, and receive from Him everything He promised in His Word. Can I get amen in here today? And that means that if this is true, which it is, we're to control our minds and not the other way around. We are to control our thinking and our choices, our thoughts and our actions. We are. We're not a victim to what just everything that happens in our life. We can choose to think the way God wants us to think, because the reason we should is because God said it and our science has proven it. It affects our health. How we think affects our health. Right thinking produces right beliefs, which produces right speaking or talking. Death and life in the power of a tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Proverbs 18:21. Right thinking produces right beliefs. Right beliefs produce right words. Right words produce right actions. And right, all of that produce the results we have in our life, either for the good or for the bad. And you and I are not victims. Although we cannot control every event and circumstance of life, you know you can't. We can control our reaction to the events. And our reaction to them is to be a response with the Word of God. Isn't that right? That's what we're to do. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. We can see, if we just write it down, we won't have time to turn there. But in a good example of that is in Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27, where Jesus said, the kingdom of God is if a man should build his house upon a rock, and the winds blew, the rains came, the floods came and beat against the house, and his house did not fall because it built upon the rock. And then on the flip side of it, he says, it's like a man that built his house upon the sand, the fool who built his house upon the sand. And the same storm came and washed it away because it built upon the sand. We had the same storm to two different people, same storm. What was the difference? Their response. One was built upon the rock of God's word, and their response was the word of God. The other one was built upon sand, something other than God's word, and their life was washed away. We can choose to think the way God wants us to think. We must realize that what we say and do is based upon what we have already built into our minds. So what are we building into our minds? So the key is, what do we do with our thoughts? Well, number one, realize that thought is not the same as belief. I'm going to say that again. First thing you got to realize is thought, your thoughts is not the same as beliefs. The reason why thoughts come is to form beliefs, but they're not the same thing. They're two different things. Thoughts is not the same as beliefs. But the reason all thoughts come to our mind is to form a belief, either from God or from the devil. It's to form a belief. But you got to first realize that thought is not the same as a belief. Just because you have a thought doesn't mean you believe it. Right. You choose. So you don't, just because you have a thought from the devil, you don't have to freak out. Like, oh my God, I have this wrong thought. The devil's telling me. I know the devil, what the devil's telling you. You're telling your lie. You still have the power. It's not the same as a belief. Stop thinking the thought, the wrong thought, is your belief. It's only your belief if you embrace it, if you choose to believe it. It's only becomes your belief if you choose to believe it. Because thoughts are not the same as the belief. You still get to choose what you believe. Amen. But this is why, on the other hand, we're to think thoughts after God's word and then choose to believe that. We still have to choose to believe it. Just because you thought God's thought don't mean you believe it either. You have to choose to believe it. And just because the devil said something, stop freaking out because you have a wrong thought. It's not a belief unless you choose to believe it. You still choose. And so you can either reject or accept that thought. You choose your thoughts in this. There is no greater evidence than this than in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. Now this is where I alluded to that we will end up today, have a few other thoughts. Other than this, if time permits. But it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought, not a few, every thought, to the obedience of Jesus Christ. So when it says bring every thought captive unto the obedience of Christ, that's why I said a moment ago that we're going to have to make the devil a prisoner of war. We're going to have to take those thoughts and make them prisoner of war. We're going to have to enforce them into prison and say, no, that's not what I believe. And every thought to the obedience of Christ is every thought to the obedience of the Word of God. So in other words, not only we think God's Word, we're to receive it and we're to act on God's Word. That's what the obedience of Christ means. We're to think God's thought, receive God's thought, choose to believe that, and then begin to act on that way. We have to act yourself. If I really believe this, how would I act? How would I live? Yep. Well, praise God. Yeah. It should be pretty evident. But notice in verse 4, we have the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So there is a war going on, but where's the war at? It's in our mind. The battlefield is in our mind. We have to realize where the battle is. It's not in the heavenly places. It's right here. The real battle in our everyday life is right here. Yes, there are principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, but that's not where our battle is. Our battle is in our mind. If we can control our thoughts, we can control our life. But mighty through God to the pulling down or the destroying of strongholds. What do they call strongholds? Casting down imagination. The strongholds are the imaginations. The other translation called them reasoning, mental elevations. Anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Anything that's contrary to this word, he says, you're to destroy. That's what the word casting down means. That's what the word pulling down means in the verse before. Both are the same Greek word. They mean to destroy. And we do that by bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? So what does that mean for us? It means everything to us, because this is how our mind is connected to our healing. Because we're going to have to think the right thoughts and believe the right things. You won't stop all wrong thoughts coming. You know, all of us have. But there's a difference between even having a thought in your mind and a belief in your heart. You choose. Remember, thoughts and belief are two different things. Right. You get to choose what you believe. So you can either think God's thoughts and then choose to believe that, or you think the devil's thought and choose to believe that. And really, What we live out is what we're believing. Now, that doesn't mean that you say, well, wait a minute. I got things going on. I'm believing the right thing. Good. That's what you're supposed to do. Then it will change. It will change that circumstance. It will change that circumstance. But you got to believe that it will. And see, this is why we're talking about these things. Here's another case in point in this. Listen to this now. And we'll close with this and a few other quick thoughts. The outstanding research done by Dr. Gail Ironside at the University of Miami found the most significant factor that made a difference in healing for those with HIV. So in other words, if you had HIV, most of us in our mind would think that's a death sentence. So this I chose this one because it's a death sentence in the natural outside of God intervening. How many know it ain't too big for God? But notice, she said the most significant factor that made a difference in healing for those with HIV was their choice to believe, listen, in a benevolent and loving God, especially if they also chose to have a personal relationship with that benevolent and loving God. She said, if you truly believe God loves you, truly believe it, it has proved out scientifically, it has an enormously protective factor, especially if one personalizes such statements as God loves me. Words are powerful. Take them seriously. Words can be your salvation. Words can also be your damnation. Matthew 12:37, Message Bible. So powerful. Death and life on the power of your tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. This is why I say it's seed that we plant in life. So notice she says that if you truly believe God loves you, it has an enormously protective factor. Now listen, especially if one personalizes such statements as God loves me. So what I want to do today is help you think after God's thoughts and make personalized statements of who God is to you and what God has done for you. See, that has the power to change things. See, this is, we have to begin to think after God's thoughts. When's the last time, don't raise your hand, don't tell me, when's the last time you actually said, God, I know you love me? Not just, I love you, God. That's very important. But God, you love me. Thank you. I don't mean that in a selfish or big-headed way. I'm talking about He does love you. When's the last time? Don't answer that, but just think about it. And so what I'm saying is, even science is proving out exactly what the Word says. If we want change in our life, it begins by changing what we think. If we really choose to believe that and begin to say that, it has power to change even, not just our mind. Our spirit's already been changed, but it changes our bodies. It produces healing. It releases the right thing. Your body was not designed to live in stress, to live in worry, to live in fear. Matter of fact, this is why God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. When's the last time you said, I have a sound mind? I have a delivered mind. When's the last time you said, I'm a child of God? I'm created in God's likeness and image. When's the last time that you said, I have the mind of Christ? I've been wired for love, and the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. I refuse to fear. I'm loved by God. I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Notice, in Christ. It's not just who you are, it's who you are in Christ. You have to, that has everything. And the truth of what's in your spirit is allowed to come through the doorway of your mind, and it floods into your body, affecting what God designed it to do all along because of right choices, right beliefs. Amen. When we say we're healed by Jesus' stripes, when we say I've been fearfully and wonderfully made, do you see yourself the way God sees you? That's what God wants us to do. This is why he wrote that love letter to us. So that, listen, you gotta love yourself. But you love the you who God made. And if you can't love yourself, then you can't love your neighbor, because one reason why most people don't love their neighbors, because they ain't never learned to love themselves. Remember the great commandment? You shall love the Lord your God with all heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. I submit to you the reason why many people never love their neighbor, because they never love themselves. So what do we do? We say and affirm. We get our minds focused back on the Word of God. And we understand that our words are healing words. Our words are healing words. Even in our own lives. Not just to the lives that we speak to others. Notice Proverbs. This came to me while we're doing this. Proverbs 12 verse 18. It says that verse, the last half of that verse says, but the tongue of the wise is health. It produces health in our life. We speak life to our life or death to our life. But it begins with what's coming into our mind and what we choose. Remember, your thoughts and belief are two different things. Choose what you believe. Choose to believe God and His Word. Amen. And when you do, begin to say what God says about you. Why don't we stand to our feet and make a confession together today? Can we do that? Hope this has helped you today and hurt you. Praise God. You've been quiet. I know that you're taking it in. Praise the Lord. And that's what I want you to do. Praise God. Say this with me. I am made in the likeness of the image of God. I have the mind of Christ. God loves me. I'm wired for love. And the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. I love God, and God loves me. And fear has nothing in me. Because I have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. I am a new creature in Christ. I have been fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. And I have been redeemed from the curse of the law. So I refuse to bear what Jesus bore for me. For spiritual death, I have eternal life. For poverty, I have wealth. For sickness and disease, I have health. And I boldly confess, Jesus, you are my healer. And by your stripes, I am healed. Jesus, I boldly confess, you are my Lord, and you are my healer. And by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. Thank you, I am. And I give you the praise. I give you the glory for it. Help me from this day forward to think your thoughts. And your thoughts are what I choose to believe. And I give you the praise. I give you the glory. I give you the honor. And I give you the thanks. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Why don't we lift our hands and just thank God for these truths. Lord, I thank you that you're working all these things in the hearts and lives of these your people, wonderful people that you love. I thank you that your healing is flowing in them. It's already in their spirits. And Lord, they've released in their faith in it today. And they'll hold on to that promise. Those here and online, we give you praise. We give you glory. And we give you thanks for it all. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Now, you understand why it's...